Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hi, gang. Now, if you'll all be quiet, we'll start the show.
TMOS Classic. Friday Flashback.
For those of you that might be on a well or have, a water source that is... I think everybody's got hot water heaters. There's some people that have those super space-age ones that heat the water when
tankless,
it comes to the
Mike,
house.
Tankless.
Yeah. Tankless, thank you.
Yeah. The wealthy. Like my brother.
Yeah, it's a tankless job. And also, right. Before people write in, we know that it's really just a water heater because it's not a hot water heater. So shut up before you write.
Bite me with that.
People are like that, though.
Does anyone ever experience this where if you happen to be... These are shower disputes. If anybody that lives in a relatively small home, if you have more than one person in there, you have probably issues with who's going to take a shower first,
yes.
Who's not going to take a shower.
Shan takes a bath before me. I'm cooked. I got a cold shower every morning.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about. Yep. So when you're getting ready, especially when you have guests in the house, you know, it's kind of who's going to use the shower first when... my mom was religious about it as far as really almost would put out a schedule about it because we have my sister and me and my mom and my dad. And so especially like on weekends, if you're getting together with people and family and stuff like that and you want to make sure you're ready.
Take a shower now so there's hot water later.
Yeah, let it regenerate.
The simple act of taking a shower, is there any other male, because here I am making it a male-female thing.
Sure.
Is there a requirement that when you are the first person in the morning to jump in the shower, which, quite often I am because I get up and we do the show in the morning and I jump in the shower. And so this morning I jump in the shower. Is there a requirement that or a chip that goes off in certain wives' brains that when the husband jumps in the shower, that's the time where she's going to run her load of laundry? And the shower is going to go from, hi, here's an invigorating morning shower, to here's the fluctuating. That's the situation.
So the water goes from spray to falling out of the nozzle.
Yeah. By the way, I spent like 5 years ago a lot of time with plumbers and everything on this shower to get the shower that I wanted up here. And, is it perfect? No, but it's pretty damn fine.
Right,
but it still is affected by a... and so I'm sitting there, and I remember turning the shower on this morning and looking at the spray coming out and going, that's a fine shower. That's a fine shower.
You see that?
And then I go over to the sink.
Right.
I grab a towel. I nakedly waddle back.
Yeah. Check yourself out in the mirror.
Fine.
No. I did today from the not my private area, but I was kind of looking at my body.
Yes, your trunk.
From the stomach up, and doing what I always do. I kind of look at it and I go,
yep.
And then so I make my way over to the shower, and then
I feel you, Mike.
5 minutes into the shower, it just goes, and I'm like, what's happening? And you can't scream because it's all already done. But I was wondering if I feel as though there's a thing where women like when you're in the shower, they want to use all the water.
Mm.
They want to do it at that particular time. But I disagree.
I disagree.
Oh God!
And I'll tell you why. Because
bastard.
I'm the guy that I would say 2 years ago was upset that my wife, every time I had to use the bathroom, she would use it before me. Just right away. And then you guys pointed out that I only have one bathroom. So
that's
would
right.
Make
that
sense.
Happens to me. We have an upstairs one bathroom up here.
Yeah.
By the way, in the loft converted to a bedroom. And who invented the goddamn loft anyway?
Sydney you Loft. Know?
Who's it? Was that some
skinny
Rob,
people?
Wasn't that some cheap construction ploy? The loft.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right?
Yeah.
The loft. Well, we could put a room with a door.
I would love
instead,
a loft.
We're going to put stairs. What's that?
I said I would love a loft. Sounds beautiful and glorious.
I know.
He'll take anything.
Yeah. So I stopped being upset at Shannon because she would get right in the bath. She goes, let me go first. And I'm like, oh, God.
And they go fast.
At least every woman
I've ever known goes fast like
fine,
a rabbit.
Fine. it seems to me that you have a water pressure issue.
Well, no, but the water pressure, if you're not running I will not be able to fix that. I know I'm not, because I'm not bringing up a main plumber up here that'll be
maybe
3 hours
ago.
Maybe
that's something you can find out on YouTube.
But you know, my bright side, at least it's not a hot water issue. Now, there's nothing worse than when you're in the water and you lose the hot water.
Yeah.
Well, if we get three people taking a shower here, we lose hot water. But that's everywhere if you've got a regular tank.
That's some men's fantasy.
What's that?
Three people taking a shower.
No, I'm talking about three separate. Two separate showers. Yeah. Two showers. Yeah. Three people having to get in there and do that.
Excuse me.
One right after the other after the other. But the one
wouldn't be, wouldn't be a stall shower, though.
If you're in the O'Mara shower. If you're in the O'Mara shower. And by the way, showers my whole life. My whole life showers. I mean, with different homes and stuff. I've lived on this planet a long time. And oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have mentioned his last name.
Should we
want to edit
that out?
Sorry. The owner of a house that I lived in, I always said, how did he fit in that shower?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized when I bought the shower, he didn't, because I didn't. And do you remember in the Manassas house that I replaced the shower there?
Uh-huh.
Same thing up here.
Yeah.
What the hell is it with people? I mean, it's just like, I don't mind you getting the prefab Home Depot shower.
Mm-hmm. It comes in a box, right.
It comes in a box, but get the big
fitter.
One.
That's here for you.
What you need, Mike, is a beautiful tub with feet.
I don't like that.
Old-fashioned tub.
No, there are tons of houses like that up here. Mm-mm. There are tons of houses. Mm-mm. I don't like a bath doesn't work. And a ye olde bath, William Howard Taft bathtub, doesn't work any better.
Asking for an accident.
Because it's raised up on claw feet.
I know.
God, I hated that.
The slippery floor bath.
Do you type of baths? I feel like they wouldn't support.
The house you were in when you came to visit up here. In my house that I used to own.
Yes, your family home.
That I was kicked out of. The house that I used to own. That I was
kicked out of.
In a way, I was. Let's be honest.
You can certainly urge him.
I was moved out. I don't want to be a part of this anymore. And they were like, really?
Oh, boy. We all went up to Maine into your family's home that had been there for many years. Yeah. And it was back when the show was much bigger, so there were lots of us staying there. Showering was
From the end of the 19th century.
Right, exactly. And luckily, one of the people that was with us was Rob Ford, so he didn't figure into the showering issue. But everyone else, there
remember
was...
that.
I do,
too.
They
put together equipment. It's like, what is that?
You said... What did you say to Rob? You said, hey, big man to big man, we got a shower.
But there was... showering in your family home, your turn-of-the-century home, was definite shift work. It had to go. It had to be spaced out throughout the day because there was a lot of people being underserved.
Then they built someone like years and years ago, maybe 30 years ago, built a shower, and that still sucked. There's something with showers up here in New England. There's something with hygiene up here in New England.
I have to be
honest with you.
You're painting with a broad brush now.
No, I am. I am. I'm talking about like the shower thing is not... Job one. You go to these places. I rented one up here where the shower. It's like, excuse me. I'm not Gumby. I what am I supposed to do? Shower like with 1 inch of square. You know, come on.
Isn't the bay God shower?
Oh, what's that?
The bay.
Frenchman's Bay.
Yeah, you can go to Frenchman's Bay.
No, you're covered with salt, and you could get urine on you from foreign countries.
That's true. And also lobster urine.
That's the way I've always looked at the ocean. You're not going in any real clean area.
It was invigorating.
I mean, that's the way it looks. I mean, you get out of the ocean, you got a film on you.
Yeah, so ask Maddie. She knows this from this past weekend.
Maddie, you got a huge family. Growing up. In that family. Now, I know you weren't always the mayor's daughter. You probably had a relatively average suburban home. What was the showering situation
she was
with you?
Born into the mayorship.
Yeah, and they lived in Gracie
Mansion.
I've
mayorship?
Always been this way, Mike.
Really?
I don't know any other life.
You were born royalty?
I was. Yeah.
How are the digs? Did your dad as the mayor, because like most cities, don't. Okay, what do you want? What do you want now? Oh, yeah. Pony Boy writes, Rob is connected and looking solid. That's great connectivity up here in Maine to finally get that. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And that was a text from Monday, so that's great.
Maddie, most mayors live in their like own home. So did you get a? You didn't get like a mayor's residence?
No. It's our own house. I'm trying to think. I can't remember any issues with that house, but I know whenever we're at my grandma's, she lives in like the sticks, and it's a super old house, and we all have to plan showers throughout the day
whenever there's
more than like three people, which is a hassle for sure.
Carla, you can yell because I know you don't want to come on camera. Did you run a load of wash when I jumped in the shower this morning? Like when I got up, you got up after me, and I immediately went into the bathroom, went into the shower. Actually, technically, you got up because you took Winslow out. I know that. Did you run a load of laundry at that point?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks. Have a good day. But it was
that was such a loving yeah.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. No, there wasn't a drop of love in that. Yeah. Yeah.
I did your wash.
Yes, I did your wash.
I did your wash.
Pig.
Would it kill you to put it in the dryer?
Well, we can talk about misogyny just for a second. Yesterday. Charlie Burney, you know him well.
Charlie Burney.
So there was this big like underground. And this is when you know you have first world problems, and when you're bored and you have nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
So Charlie Burney was kind enough to send everyone a coffee cake. Right. Remember the whole thing. The coffee cake.
It was
gate.
A thing.
Coffee cake gate.
Yeah. Yes. Well, that was my. I have to be point on that.
No. I don't think you were the only person. So
okay. Charlie. Make a long story short. Charlie Burney, who runs everything at Podcast Village, sent coffee cakes out with notes like, "I'd love to chat sometime," and I thought something was wrong.
Well, Maddie
I scared him away, and I haven't heard from him since.
Remember, Maddie thought she was getting fired as well.
Yeah. Remember, Mike. No good deed goes unpunished.
Okay.
It was really just him trying to be nice.
I literally got that coffee cake and. In my mind, I hear this conversation. Mike, it's really been a nice experiment, you know, working with you guys. But I just, and then I hear Dick Katz from Katz Creative Decorating when I was fired when I was 16 saying, but generally things haven't worked out.
The sentiment was in the right, like his mindset was he wanted to help.
Yep.
Now, throughout that coffee cake gate incident, I had realized that I never received a coffee cake. Everyone else, including I never got one. And it didn't matter to me, but everyone was saying how great this coffee cake was.
So it was delicious.
Really nice. Here are the two obese fat immediately go, it was good. In my mouth. Rob ate it when it was halfway out of the mailbox.
Had to fight Robert for it, but I got my share.
Yeah, you had to fight Robert for it. Look at Robert and look at you, okay? Who wins that fight?
I guess, ultimately, he'll win.
How about next time, give him all of it?
So,
when you're in a box, he can help himself.
In a very sweet manner, Charlie sent a little gift basket. Because I think someone made a joke about it, like, hey, how come Oscar and Shannon didn't get a coffee cake?
Right.
And he's like, that was all it was. So he sent, because Charlie's been working from home, we're social distancing as much as we can, and he's been coming in for a couple of the shows he works on, he hosts. He sent this basket with all these snacks. So I've been sharing the snacks with Maddie and Shannon and everybody else. And the beer nuts are something that I just felt like they're not going to want any of that. Like, I'm going to eat the beer nuts. I'm good.
He sent you beer nuts?
It was a basket full of snacks. Pretzels.
That he sent you instead of a coffee cake?
Yes. Which was very sweet.
Could you let us know what was in the basket? Because I'm kind of curious.
So they had fancy chocolates. It had these like really high-end beer nuts I'd never seen anywhere else.
Was it in response to the fact that he didn't send you a coffee cake? Did he realize it and this is a make good?
I think it is.
Okay, that's understandable.
But it's nothing that I was like, I wasn't ringing the bell, I need a coffee cake.
Right.
I think somebody just had mentioned, hey, Oscar, what'd you think of the coffee cake? I was like, oh, I didn't get one. Just like a throwaway. Mm-hmm. That was enough.
It was a non-cake.
And
are you okay? What's with
something was in my water. Something like gelatinous was in my water. Oh. Jesus Christ, what was that?
Maybe a Tide Pod?
I have no idea.
Tide Pod! Maybe when Carla did the laundry, she put a Tide Pod in your water. She said, what is this, liquid IV?
I am
no,
so sorry I interrupted
think so.
You.
No worries.
TMOS Classic.
So artisanal beer nuts.
Yeah, we've got some spiced crackers, water crackers, ginger
snaps.
He's
a generous guy. That's very nice.
Like super, he went all out. And I'm eating the beer nuts. No big deal. I leave the can almost empty. Maybe I had four beer nuts left of a can right next to my workstation. And Shannon, I hear from the other room, walk over to my workstation. Thought she's going to pick up a form that I had to sign or something like that I had signed for her. And she's like, damn it, Maddie, why do guys do this? And I'm like, what's the problem? She goes, why would you leave an empty can of beer nuts just sitting right there? And then Maddie, in the sweetest way possible, she goes, I know. Why do they do that? When it's done, just throw it away. Why would you just leave it there?
Okay, so they've got their thing about us. That's legitimate. Matt, that's completely legit.
Why did you, remember, I'm your ally. She's not.
Right.
Why did you jump to the enemy's line?
I'm just here to speak the truth. And there's nothing that pisses me off more when I see something and then I'm like excited, right? I'm like, all right, I'm going to eat this. I'm going to snack. It's snack time. And then I go and it's empty. It's like heartbreak.
Yeah, but Oscar himself said there was four nuts left. That's not empty.
No, there were four nuts left.
Yeah, there were.
There were four nuts left.
Mike,
how did you get magna cum laude? How did you get that?
VCU.
How did you get magna cum laude when you can't speak English properly?
It was VCU, and the checks cleared, and they said, thank you, sir. Here's your piece of paper. Good night.
It's a miracle.
Mike.
I swear to God. Four nuts left. But if they see the can, Rob, on the side, and they're coming up to it, you didn't leave the can with the plastic cover on it with four nuts in it.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh, he resealed it. I got to jump.
With the ladies on this one. With
really?
The ladies.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You put it down, you neatly put the cover back on, and you leave it on a desk like there it is for everybody to have a little sample.
You know what? When you put the lid on it, you take it to the next level of trickery.
Right.
Because what you've done is you've definitely misled them.
I honestly didn't think twice about it. I was like, I'll throw this away in a bit. But Maddie, the way that the way she pounced on your boy I was like, man, I haven't seen this side of Maddie. Because she never talks about John like in a detailed manner. Does John do this on a regular basis?
Yeah, all the time. It's caused a lot of rifts in our relationship.
Yeah.
But I think
it's a guy thing.
After 3 years, he's learned a little bit.
Because I think men, and this might be the nature of the biology of being the hunter-gatherer, will sit there and stuff and gorge until they are sated.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are not sated, they could be conceivably, you could have three or four nuts left and be sated.
And just say
that's it, I'm out of gas. Put the cover on it and push it off to the side, never to be seen again.
I got
to
counterpoint that, Mike. I would never leave that minuscule. I would finish it. I'd have to finish it. If it was only four nuts.
I get that.
Like, what is a single serving of Ben & Jerry's ice cream? It's whatever is there. That's how much you eat. You eat pint.
The pint is, by the way, has anybody, I'll ask the two thinner people here, Maddie or Oscar, or Pony, for example, have you ever popped open the pint of ice cream and just, taken a couple of scoops and not finished it?
I usually don't sit there outside of heartbreak. You've seen me.
Yeah, and that was an entire pint.
Yeah, yes.
That was a quart, I remember. Specifically.
I would say I get two or three spoonfuls, and then
because it wasn't Ben and Jerry's, it was Baskin Robbins, right?
Jamocha fudge,
almond Jamocha fudge.
The taste of heartbreak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it was
Maddie,
fun
I mean,
to watch.
But isn't do you look at a pint of like Ben and Jerry's as that's a serving of Ben and Jerry's?
No, I always scoop some out and then just eat it from a dish because I will eat the whole thing, and that's just not. Good.
No, it's not good.
See,
for
so I do is, have to Rob. Have some self-control.
There it is. See, I mean, the idea of Ben and Jerry's not needing a dish. I mean, never. You know, it's just there. That's it.
I appreciate the way it is in the
COVID.
Pint. God bless you, Mike.
Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. You just yell COVID as you sneeze.
Yeah,
you
yell COVID as I sneeze.
I think that's a new tradition. Let's do that. Anytime we sneeze on air, we'll have to yell COVID.
Hey, Pony, I hear you giggling in the background.
Yes, that's right. You know, for me, a pint of ice cream is like at least 2 or 3 months worth of ice cream. I can't do that at once.
2 or 3 months. That's
exactly.
It. You know,
it will
we
last
really,
long enough
we,
to design a third of a website.
Yeah, that's rations.
If we compared notes, Rob, it would probably be It would probably speak to the way we eat, which is not. But I've always considered the pint to be. I go to the store, buy a pint. That's not a shareable item. I'm getting that.
And then you get another one.
That's for you.
Just to show the family.
Also, well, if I wanted to share the family, I'd buy something that would stay in the freezer. Like the other day, Julia requested non-dairy Cherry Garcia. That's had a long. I've not tasted it.
Oh, it's fantastic. I love the non-dairy Ben and Jerry's. I love that stuff. It's absolutely.
Let's hurry up and finish the show then.
The non-dairy. I'm fasting, so
Mike,
you got to remember at this time it's 9:30. Okay, Mike. My body right now, my stomach's going.
Mike, you have to share, and I'm sure Rob was here, but when you were in Key West before the pandemic,
yes,
the way that you went to was it Fry's? Or one of the grocery stores, and you bought a pint for the car, and then you brought a pint home and looked at Carl and said, "Nah, I'll have a little later." Like you played it off.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
But the way that you ate the pint,
right,
was gold.
I ate the pint. I did not have a utensil, so I ate the pint with my front teeth. I scraped
like a beaver.
It and I pulled like a beaver. I ate the pint like an ice cream cone.
Like a wood planer. Like a wood planer against your mouth with curls of deliciousness coming out of the sawdust
because
ice cream.
We were visiting my sister Kathy and my brother-in-law Paul, who are like, what are we having for dinner? We're having AP. AP. cut it up in thirds. So that's what the house was like, and I was sitting there, and, you know, I was trying to get my eat on, and I did that, and then I got, I think it was maybe that non-dairy coconut cluster thing that they have, which is fantastic. Thank you, Sean Greenwood.
Coconut is really good in ice cream. It's a good ingredient.
Oh, my God. I ate it like that, and then you can only do so much before you get to the cardboard, and then I bit the cardboard and tore the cardboard down a little bit, and I kind of manipulated with one, because you're eating one-handed, because I'm not going to slow down. I needed to get back. I was way out of Key West.
Was it not melting at a rate where you could sort of like sip a little bit, let it melt, sip, melt,
sip,
melt? I had
the air conditioning on in the car, so it was...
Okay, so it wasn't horribly...
And by the way, the Ben & Jerry's, because, you know, it is a mass-produced ice cream, I think perhaps a slightly less intense melt point than some of the ice cream you get up here. Yeah, Giffords, by the way, is the main ice cream that's manufactured, mass-produced up here. And Giffords has a melt point where, you know, you walk it from the window to the car, and you could have a puddle on your hand.
lot of air in there.
Well, no, air density is what the melt... I could do ice cream. Wait, we could have Sean talk about it.
What do you mean, this melt point?
Rob's talking about cheaper ice creams have maybe more air.
Air whipped in.
Cheaper ice creams have less air whipped in.
Got it.
Right?
No, it's fat. It's fat. The cheaper ice creams have more air.
No, but you say air, the cheaper ice creams have more air in them.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that causes them to melt faster because they're less dense.
How would you guys know what a melt point is? Isn't it something you just dive in and get it over with, you're done?
No, but I mean, what Rob's saying, if they whip more air into the ice cream, that means that it is less dense, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Are you researching it?
I'm air and ice cream.
No, density is that means it's going to melt.
Science now.
It's going to melt faster because it's got more of the cream and the fat.
I thought if it was dense, it would last longer.
I'll give you an example. Your soft serve Dairy Queen isn't going to melt as fast Ben and Jerry's.
True. Or about
because there's more air in it, Rob. That's why.
Did you know that there's air makes up 30-50% of most ice cream volume? I didn't realize it was that high. It's called the overrun.
They whip it in. That's it. Mm-hmm. A Haagen-Dazs, less air. A Ben & Jerry's, less air. How did we get on ice cream?
Jesus Christ. Someone listening to this right now is like, oh, if it's just air, I can eat as much as I want.
This whole discussion started. That's what's great about this show. The show is, we are Seinfeld. It's about nothing. The show started about a washing machine and a shower, and now we're talking about density. Did you find any information there? Because you're confusing everybody.
No, I don't mean to confuse you. If you've ever had a bowl of ice cream melt, then refroze it and tried to eat it later, it probably didn't taste very good.
Yeah, why does that happen?
Because when it's refreeze, when ice cream is frozen, it's agitated because it's being stirred as it freezes. That's how the air gets into it.
Right.
So it's likely going to taste too sweet if you refreeze it without agitation, or as it's known, Mike, in the business, quiescently frozen. Frozen without agitation.
But that doesn't answer the question about
I'm still trying to find
density.
I'm trying to find it right now.
Just look up Google density in ice cream.
I've got it from Penn State University.
Oh, they have the creamery up there. That's a big deal. They love their ice cream at Penn State. They have a dairy program at Penn State, and they have an ice cream parlor on campus that makes incredible ice cream.
Okay, how about this? And while you look, and maybe Rob can play along here as we pass.
Sure, go ahead.
What the flavor? Amount of air also has a huge effect on the density of ice cream. A gallon of ice cream must weigh at least 4.5 pounds, making the minimum density 0.54 gram per millimeter. Better brands have higher densities.
Damn.
Thank you.
But if it's higher density, wouldn't it have less air? Because the air is not dense. Air is actually making it fluff.
That's what I said. But you mentioned air. Lots of air. When I talked about the melt. So the higher density is going to melt, too.
Okay. All right.
A higher density of ice cream is going to melt faster. Do you understand that?
I do. But I also think that the more fat that's in there, it's going to... If it's got higher butter fat, and I'm confusing the overrun with the fat content. That's where I
How
went wrong.
How dare you?
But I think more fat is going to stay frozen longer.
The Penn State, you're absolutely right, Rob, about Penn State here. This is amazing. I didn't even know this was up there. How'd you know about this? Does everybody know about this?
Well, Brad's family is a Penn State family, so I know a little bit about the school.
Okay, the larger the Penn structure State of ice cream, the longer it takes the flavor molecules to be released. One side effect of adding a lot of air to ice cream is that it tends to... Oh, Rob's right.
Oh, what? Snap! Twist.
I have to eat my words right now. When he's right, he's right. One side effect of adding a lot of air to ice cream is that it tends to melt more quickly. That would follow because the Giffords is the mass-produced ice cream, and that's with less air.
You see, and I think happens is that ice cream, one of the big qualifiers for like the boutique high-quality ice creams is weight. Because, you know, a pint of ice cream is a pint of ice cream is a pint, but if it's a denser ice cream, it's going to weigh more, and that's a sign of a premium ice cream. As I recall. What were you saying about Penn State?
Penn State Creamery gives you a breakdown of which flavors melt the fastest.
Oh, okay. What's the fastest?
It's telling you that chocolate melted the fastest, followed by pineapple toasted coconut, and finally strawberry sorbet took the longest to melt.
Sorbet took the longest to melt.
That's what they're telling me, man.
Wow,
now, here's
crazy.
Another answer. Does density affect the melting rate of ice cream? It isn't a major factor in determining melting point. Here is a table of compounds. Oh, bite me.
Science. Okay. Who has time for that?
Right. How does density affect? Oh, boy, we're not the first ones that have asked about this.
No, Mike, there's a lot of very concerned fat people out there, and they're writing.
Yeah. Anything about covalent bonds?
Yeah, I invested in them.
Hold on. Before we get out of here,
you got a high yield.
Keep talking about yourself. I have one more question.
Also, Oscar, if you go to Penn State, you can also buy cheese curds. That's another thing they sell up there.
Yum.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a beautiful campus. Unfortunately, it's had a few bad years. You know, a lot of times they've got that Nittany Lion statue. That's their.
I've actually been there.
Yeah, the ear has been stolen off the statue.
Just stolen
by, you know, disgruntled people.
What ice cream brand melts the fastest? They're saying the brand of ice cream that melted the most is Great Value. That's the Walmart brand. Then Breyers, then Häagen-Dazs. This doesn't matter at all. I'm completely wrong with this.
Well, I think Häagen-Dazs is a little overrated anyway. Häagen-Dazs was not, you're supposed to think it's like imported from Germany as a beautiful, wonderful thing.
I thought it was a French chocolate.
It's delicious, though. It's very
yummy. It's good ice cream, but, you know, it was targeted to sound that way. It's an American brand.
It is?
They fooled you.
Just like the Frappuccino?
Exactly. Frappuccino, no matter what it is.
It looks like you're using an ad blocker. Yes, I am. F*** you. Christ.
Is that what it looks like?
That's funny.
Oh, does it look like that? What does this look like? All right. Thank you. Just flipped him off.
TMOS Classic. The best of O'Mara.
It is said that time waits for no man. And when that man realizes that his time has come, he will check his watch to make sure that he is in the correct time zone. For with the passing of each season, summer to fall, winter to spring, a man can only wait for his time to come. Because as the sands funnel through the hourglass of history, a man can hope in some small way to make his mark on the passage of time and in doing so cement his place on the wall of timeliness that marks the ticking of each individual timepiece. Because as we all know, time takes time. And timepieces take on many forms. The gold watch of the plantation owner. The hourglass of the ancient Polymorphians. The battered wristwatch of the grizzled World War II dog face. The oversized wrist ornament of a sweating Kardashian. All mark time in their own special way. And be it Timex or Rolex, Seiko or Fossil, Bulova or Zabalios.
What?
With each stroke of the second hand, the universal march of time weaves its way through the fabric and seasons of a man's life. And when that bell of April tolls, when the little and big hands land in their predetermined locations to summon the great white horde, sprinkled with a select chosen few minorities and foreigners. All with timepieces synchronized. All waiting to see if their muscular frames will fit into the magic jacket of green.
Ah.
All hoping against hope that on Sunday their glands will produce the sweat that seeps into the tailor's green jacket. For it is the perspiration that signifies the time itself. The moisture of the ages, oozing and dripping, that is absorbed into the waiting clean towel of competition.
Ew.
And when the sun finally sets on the azalea-scented contest,
oh, no.
The body odor of the fairway gladiators will take charge with a wafting scent that will waft over the waiting patrons from Butler Cabin to the Eisenhower Pine. Oh, my God, wait. The Eisenhower Pine is no longer.
No.
Yes, the Eisenhower Pine has gone. Dead. Deceased. No longer. Worm food. Mulch. So long, fair friend. Into that big forest in the sky. From Amen Corner to the servant's entrance at the back of the grill. That wafting scent will mean only one thing. That the time has come for Hootie. And Bubba, and Billy, and the boys to head on down to the jacket closet and find just the right garment for just the right champion. Then we will all know that it is time to wind our watches once again.
Oh.
And we wait another year to skip down Magnolia Lane, tongues a wagon, and ready to enjoy that thing that's the Masters.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.